fighting. It's the fighting. Clock. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Clock.
A camel turnip.
Hello and welcome to the Fighting Cock podcast, the very first one coming from the Villiers Terrace in Crouch End.
Villiers
Terrace in Crouch End.
Good start.
Prick. My name's Flav, and that's not my real name, but football is an emotive sport, and Tottenham are full of emotional football fans, and I didn't want to end up getting glassed in the Bellonair car park for saying that Lennon should play on the left wing rather than the right, or the new Tottenham shirt should have, I don't know, a collar on instead of not having a collar or something like that. So, yeah, my name's Flav, and I'm here with four other staunch Tottenham fans who I know very well. We've got Spooky here.
Hello. DearMrLevy.com, the blog, I'm sure you've heard of it, or maybe you haven't. Been blogging there for about 4 years now. Been around for a little bit longer on various message boards, but just decided to progress from randomly posting stuff on there to randomly posting stuff on a site that just has my random crap on, basically.
Well, the podcast is going to be featured on Dear Mr. Levy and launched almost on Dear Mr. Levy as well. So if you ever, if there's any doubt about where to find the podcast, then Dear Mr. Levy is going to be the place where you can find it.
You'll be able to listen to it via the blog or just subscribe via iTunes.
Would it cost any money?
Nah, free.
There you go, it's free.
That's the dulcet tones of the trunk, the trunk.
Thank you very much, Gary. Oh, Flav, sorry, I should say.
Oh, bollocks. It's happened already.
Thanks, Gary, Flav.
Just keep that in.
You've never heard his voice. You might have seen his animations on YouTube, but he'll tell you a bit more about that.
Oh, yeah. Hello, yeah, I'm the trunk. I made a few little cartoon things online because I was bored and unemployed, and it's brought me here to the Fighting Cock podcast. Looking forward to it. Thank you very much, Flav, for inviting me down for this little session in this roasting hot greenhouse that we're in currently.
That's the Villiers Terrace, not a roasting greenhouse.
Right, it's not actually a greenhouse.
Nice pub in NA.
It is nice.
Ricky. No fancy names, just Ricky.
Just Ricky.
How did you get the name Ricky?
It's my name.
Why was you called Ricky, though?
Because I was named after... What's that noise?
Pino wagon.
What is that sound?
I thought it was an ice cream truck, but...
Just wait for that to stop. Clock! Alright, carry on. So, Ricky, how'd you get your name?
How do you get your name, Ricky?
I got my name. My name was from my dad, who called me Ricky from Ricky Villa, the legendary Tottenham player. I've been going to Tottenham for, since I was, my first game was when I was five. I've been a season ticket holder in Park Lane for 7 years. I attend all home games, all the cup games, a handful of away games and a handful of European away games as well.
Chicago, Dan.
I came to England as a 16-year-old on a football playing tour, travelling around London area playing some football matches and was lucky enough to be taken to White Hart Lane to see the famous Tottenham Hotspur Football Club play a friendly against Celtic. This was not the glory days of Tottenham. Jamie Redknapp was captain, Casey Keller in goal, Darren Anderton, quite a squad really.
Was Darren Anderton a good footballer?
Yeah, he was.
His final ball was great.
Alright, that's settled then, isn't it?
Anyway, when I moved back to the U.S., I spent a lot of time, about 4 years, on my own, searching the internet, trying to follow Tottenham, and was lucky enough, a few years on, to meet up with the Chicago Spurs Supporters Club. Shout out to Chicago Spurs Supporters Club, by the way. Which first gave me my first chance to really be able to express my love for Tottenham with other lovely fellas in a pub setting. And my love really grew for Spurs. And when I decided to do a master's degree, I thought, where should I go? London. and subsequently, I've spent most of my student loans on following Spurs
It's not just most of your student loan, though. How many games have you missed, home games have you missed in the last 2 years since started studying?
I've missed 5 home matches in 2 seasons.
Wow.
Including FA Cup, Carling Cup, preseason.
That's a lot of misery you watch.
Without a doubt. Been away to Inter Milan, away to Real Madrid, away all over England. And now I'm happy to be joining the crew of the new Fighting Cock podcast.
Excellent work.
You're welcome. I was just going to ask you, Dan, it's just interesting to know, like, would you say your average sort of American soccer football fan, do they support mainly kind of English Premiership teams, or do they like the... Because I know the MLS is growing quite a lot now. Do they kind of support that more, or do they...
I would say in general, most Americans who are following football have 2 teams. They'll have an MLS team and their English Premier League team. Generally, you get the glory hunters following the Man U, Arsenal, Chelsea, bollocks. But the biggest club at the Globe Pub in Chicago is the Chicago Spurs Supporters Club.
Cool, Spurs.
What's that like in the Globe Pub?
The Globe Pub is a brilliant pub. I think 3 years now voted the number 1 soccer bar in America.
The whole of America?
Yeah.
Why? What makes it great? Apart from being a Spurs pub.
That's reason enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
They very much cater to the American football fan. They play every game.
Hot dogs and stuff.
You got to remember, 12:45 kickoff in London is a 6:45 kickoff in Chicago.
So that's commitment.
And yet the pub is packed.
How busy is it, though?
Well, if it's a big match, you'll have 80, 90 guys in there at that time, having their English breakfast and a pint of lager along the way. Yeah,
excellent.
It's brilliant.
Well,
between
a little introduction as well.
You could
be. Shit.
We've
got Al, who's going to be engineering it, making this sound as good as it can possibly sound. Hopefully it sounds good. That'd be a good reflection on you, Al.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Flav actually forgot about him as well, which is quite...
Yeah, that's why I might have jumped, because he forgot about me.
I did forget, but all right. But that's Al, and he's sorting out all the sound, and you might hear a grunt or two from behind the mic. That would be him if that happens. That's not just that's not unprofessionalism. That's engineer Sal. That's what he's like. Sells drugs. Does coke.
Likes a breast.
I've got a number. It's 07. No. All right. So we're going to move on to what's been happening this summer. Where do we start, Speed?
Well, the lack of what's happened this summer, do you reckon?
Do you reckon? Should we start with that? All right. And what's been happening with the transfer market is, to be honest, baby Drogba. The fact that he's
what's his name again?
Can anyone pronounce his name?
And what is his name? Anyone give it a go?
What is this? The Romelu Lukaku?
No. The only player we signed this season.
He scored 2 in his debut, didn't he?
Or he scored 1.
Oh, that baby Drogba. I thought you were talking about the Belgian baby Drogba.
The real one from Ivory Coast.
He's been playing about, yeah.
Yeah.
What? No, just that bloke off YouTube, basically, is just what I refer to him as.
It's pretty much that, isn't it?
Jovino's on the Gunners one, isn't it?
What's that?
Jovino, that's who you asked.
Why you got to bring that up?
Well, you know.
What's that got to do with anything?
He's from the Ivory Coast.
Well, let's talk about our own Ivory Coast striker.
Yeah, people have called him the baby jobber.
They didn't. He's just a bloke.
He scored a brace.
He did score a brace. This isn't the right...
Why are you talking about? We're talking about our own signing, not Arsenal's signing.
All right. Just Ivory Coast is relevant.
You'll never appear on this podcast again.
Is it the Ivory Coast show?
Yeah.
The general ball.
Can I start again?
Go on.
Can anyone pronounce the name of our new striker?
No.
Begins with C.
I thought it started with an S.
It's S. It doesn't begin with... Oh, no, the surname does. So can you? Can you speak?
No, I can't. I'll...
Solly. His name's Solly, right?
Someone's done the research.
Is it like Cully something?
No, he's nicknamed... Solly, because no one can pronounce his name, but it doesn't matter, because if he's a bollocks, then he's going to...
Well, he looks a bollocks.
Well, it was 11 goals in 4 games at the U17 Championships.
So he played for the Under-17 Championships, World Championships, World Cup, Under-17s World Cup, and he scored 11 goals. Is that right? We may be wrong.
I think it was 11 goals in 4 games.
See, the Ibra kick he scored...
That was Brazil. I think that was one of 4...
He scored a hat-trick.
Four goals he scored against Brazil. I know someone's going to sort of say that, you know, that wasn't right.
Don't forget Jamie Slabber, sort of, you know, he did quite well.
So, do you know who else scored 11 goals in, I think it was 7 games? Is Singamar Pongule.
Yeah, he did.
He also came in with an equally exceptional record, but turned out to be shit.
Save ourselves a lot of trouble and write him off right now.
Yeah,
do that and then just
I think Chancellor is not going to get a single first team appearance this season, is he? Like,
the
really.
The thing is everyone
last strikers.
He's going to be better than Peter Crouch.
Yeah.
Things the worry
he's only 5'8".
He's starting on that now.
Way too early for that. Problem is that our history of developing these kids ain't too bright.
No, it's
not. They come in. I mean, Gareth Bale being one player we pushed into the first team. He done all right. He got injured. He got thrown back into it again. He got injured again, I think. But his confidence got shot to pieces. And this is like a British talent that doesn't really need to be climatised in any way. But at the same time, we've got this guy arriving. You think that he's been promised something if he's been touted to be, you know, one or two big clubs are meant to be after him or were meant to be after him.
Well, I wasn't just saying any big clubs. You're talking about Real Madrid, Barcelona.
So I reckon he's on a promise. So we might see him earlier. But my hope is that we just take our time. He's going to be raw. He's not going to be the finish article by any
It's just a boy.
Yeah, exactly.
The other thing is, though, we shouldn't get too, like, it's easy to get carried away thinking about who else was linked to them, but don't forget as well, apparently Real Madrid and Barcelona were after Stefan Iversen when we bought them as well.
Is that true?
And Mourinho's been after Genius for years.
So Genius is, let's not start on Ingenious, we trust.
Crouch and Genius, let's leave it until later on when we run out of things to say.
Okay, so how about this other boy from Barcelona, the internet sensation that made his name...
All right, can anyone pronounce his name?
Made it Ceballos. Made his name
doing
kick-ups with Ronaldinho.
Yeah, a three-year-old doing kick-ups down the hallway into a bedroom.
But didn't he?
Where's his father's?
If I recall, like he broke his leg, didn't he? And he was when he was about 15, 16, he broke his leg really badly.
So Spurs signed him up.
Yeah, of course.
So he's keep Ledley King cup.
That's exactly right.
I've heard he's got a good left peg.
See, it always worries me when we sign these players that are meant to be really talented. Why is the club selling him? Like, the obvious being Dos Santos, and obviously what we'd seen of him, I follow La Liga, love it to bits. And I thought he's a really tasty player. And then he becomes available, we sign him, and you think, well, this is going to go somewhere. But I don't know whether it just comes down to Redknapp not fancying him or whether all those stories about him apparently being a party animal.
See, I don't buy that as much. He's a player, and in the end, a good player is making money. And whether he's partying all night or not, he scores goals. Watch him play for Mexico. He's the best player.
He's fantastic.
The Mexicans love him.
So what's happening?
Well, he's gotten about 11 games in 3 years at Tottenham.
It's Redknapp's fault.
Well, no, I think...
I blame Redknapp.
I think it's a bit of both,
It's hard to say, I think.
It's a bit of both. If you've got a player that kind of... You've really stereotyped him as being lightweight for the Premier League, and he comes in and he's apparently partying... and just coming in late at night, late for training, and he's a bit lightweight, you're not really going to give him a chance. But say if he had knuckled down and he is still lightweight, you'd probably give him more of a chance if you see that, him doubling his efforts, and you would give him a go. But if Redknapp says, or the other players, and his partying ways and stuff like that, then you just think, well, do you know what, I'm not going to give you a go, like... Because normally you give them the benefit of the doubt, but if you're just out getting lashed all the time, then fuck you.
The two stories I remember were, one, his parents came over and apologised to Redknapp about his behaviour off the back of apparently saying that he was not going to come in for Monday morning training, and then the club finding out that he was in Barca.
Was this right before we sent him to Turkey?
I think it was, but... Again, the manager wouldn't make this stuff up, whether it's exaggerated in any way, whether he's just the type of personality where the manager thinks, you know what, I'm not going to bother with you, because I can imagine one or two managers out there being able to manage him. I say that only because of what we see of other managers. You get the feeling with Redknapp sometimes, if he doesn't quite fancy him, it's not going to really make that much of it. There's another player in that position, if playing instead.
No doubt. If you're not in Redknapp's good graces, then you...
Redknapp couldn't manage a lump of shit. He couldn't. The geezer's... He's been... he's been heralded for being...
These are the thoughts of just one member.
No, this is part of the reason why I've got an alias, is that I don't get beaten up. But Redknapp, in my eyes, isn't... the kind of messiah that a lot of
I don't think people are saying that he's a messiah, but I don't think people should be dissing him as you are. It's kind of like, I don't know, I'd probably say he's a bit like Marmite. You either love him or you hate him, really.
How can you love that man?
I don't, well, actually, no, probably not love him, but I, you know, I kind of, I respect exactly what he's done, and I'm not saying, you know, that he's given us the best time ever and that, but do you know what, at the end of the day, we have finished top four. We were in the Champions League. And when he did join, we did have 2 points from 8 games. And although the balance of the team,
I know that.
But do you know what I mean? It's kind of like with the team that we had and the money that we spent, I could have got our team to mid-table. Do you know what I mean?
That's the problem with Tottenham, isn't it?
I was going to say, is that from your Championship manager experience?
No, I would have won the Champions League by now, mate.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah.
What did you say? Champions mad, don't know what.
The thing is about Redknapp, I think people there's respect for what he's done, because he's come in back to basics and he's got a squad of, I'd say misfits. It's not really a squad of misfits, it's a squad of players that will play that position. Ramos was trying to play this overcomplicated formation. None of our players were really warming to it. He's come in back to basics. He's put the best players in their best positions. He's got the best out of them. Hugged a few players, I'm sure, and he's got the best out of them. What I think people hate or dislike is that his personality is all-consuming.
Yeah.
It just takes over everything. And if he just kept
his mouth...
It takes
over the very soul of Tottenham.
But it's not a big shocker. We all knew this is what we'd get with him. And I think when Levy appointed him, I know Levy done a bit of a backstory where we looked at him before, but it could never happen. So he kind of made the suggestion this was a target, this was a potential manager in the past. Like, whatever, if you say so. The point is, he came in, he'd done a job. And for me, it's always been about stability, because regardless of whether he leaves next season or not, he probably will. If we're stable, the job of the manager that turns up is going to be easy. He's going to have a squad there, maybe one or two players to be replaced or sold on or whatever. But
yeah.
And that's what that is where, for me, he gets kudos for doing what he's done.
The other thing about Redknapp is that you can't forget is, like, as much as Ricky makes that point of 2 points make games, the thing is, when we were in the position, because a lot of us forget the position we were in when we got rid of Ramos, that we were dangerous. We could have been Newcastle that season.
Big,
you know,
trouble.
We were in a lot of danger, and I think at that time, Redknapp was the best sort of person we could have brought in. He knew the English game.
Absolutely.
As Spooky says, yeah, he knew what players to play in the right position that would suit the kind of Premiership. He had years of experience, and he saved us. But the problem that we're finding now is, you kind of, I think with a lot of Tottenham fans, we have that, we're in that kind of difficult transition period now, whereby we got into the Champions League a couple of seasons ago, but now we didn't this year, and we're struggling. We're kind of at a crossroads now, whereby we're either going to go from strength to strength, or we're going to keep going downhill and go back into where we were. And we don't know if Redknapp's going to be the best man to suit us where we are now.
Well, in fair play, we don't know if he's going to be around at the end of next season, with the England job potentially coming up.
Fuck.
And to be fair, I think...
I'm sorry.
To be fair, I think he's absolutely what, as an outsider and a non-England fan, he's absolutely what England need. He needs to do the job on England that he did on Tottenham, which is humming. Pat a couple of players on the back and tell them to sort themselves out.
I know that Americans are very nationalistic, and they, you know, they love their own sports and stuff, and even though their own sports put baseball and no one else plays, but
World Series.
The World Series, yeah, let's not get into that. Anyway. My problem with Redknapp has always been nothing really to do with what's going on the pitch. A lot of fans focus on the fact that they base their support on their football club on success. And I've never done that. I love the shirt they wear. I don't love the player in it. I don't care about who scores 20 goals a season. If a player came out and said, I love Tottenham, I love them, and they scored five goals a season, I would love that player.
Your sentiments, I completely agree, it's about the club. But you can't help feeling a little bit detached to some of the players, especially when you get a player that comes along and you think, he is a Tottenham player. If you wanted to introduce Spurs to anyone outside of the English game.
Did you not think that about Modric?
That's exactly what I'm leading into. Yeah, when Modric signed, you know, there's all this hype about him being, and I've got to be honest, I didn't see a lot of him before he signed, but I had faith in the signing, and he looked like the type of player that will take a while to kind of transcend his style of football and get settled in. And that's exactly what happened. Initially, people were on his back the same way we were on, well, not me personally, but loads of people were on Michael Carrick's back, because they couldn't just sit back and think, in 6 months, he's going to be a top, top player. That happened with Carrick. It happened with Modric. Everyone fell in love with the guy. And you feel, you know what? We've got a player here. He signed a six-year contract. He's banging on about, I don't care about all these other teams. I think I've got a future here. And this is the thing that goes hand in hand with the loving of the shirt bit. If you find a player that it kind of epitomises what we are about as supporters, as someone who could take us forward and actually make a bit of history, rather than being, you know, Tottenham stepping stone, I'm going to move on after a few years. And so it's gut wrenching.
Sorry, I just want to go back to, I know we're talking about players and we're progressing to players now, but I still want to go back to speaking about Redknapp. And I know there's a lot of kind of, I don't want to use the word hate, but about his media persona, about kind of everything encompasses him. With a lot of managers nowadays, they deflect on, although kind of like it is all about Harry Redknapp and it's self-preservation. But I mean, with Arsene Wenger, it's always that he didn't see it, he never saw what was going on. Ferguson always blames the refs. Mourinho attacked everyone, and Harry Redknapp, you know, he doesn't
attack his own players.
He brings it on himself. No, he doesn't attack his own players. He does.
You know,
in the past, he's maybe had a game where, you know, where he has done it, but it's not a relentless attack every single, you know.
Darren Burns.
He does. Well, yeah, I mean, was called for, though.
He's
do you
right.
know what I mean? You know, every single manager kind of has a get-out clause, and whatever they use, they are slippery, and they still have to use that technique. It doesn't matter what it is, but Harry Redknapp has got it as well as the other Premiership managers. So, do you
right.
know what I mean?
You're right. He does get a lot of criticism for the Darren Bent comment, which is a flippant remark.
Yeah. But it was well funny. Let's be honest.
It wasn't that funny. If I said that in a pub, you wouldn't laugh. So it wasn't that funny.
For sure.
Would you?
American. Oh,
yeah, he's American. Okay.
But my missus would have scored that. That's funny.
I suppose.
Do you think we could do it down bed now, Flav?
Nah, man.
You don't?
Yeah, probably.
I don't know. Darren Bent is the worst 20 goal a season.
You can't have a bad 20 goal a season.
He scores 20 goals and still manages to look shit.
Hang on. Let's deal with Redknapp first. My problem with Redknapp is that his own agenda is above Tottenham's. He doesn't really care about Tottenham fans. Agreed. He said the same about Tottenham, slagging Tottenham fans off before signing for Tottenham, about the Sol Campbell thing. You know, the song about Sol Campbell, you know the song. So we're not talking about that song. We are talking about the way Redknapp reacted to an entire fan base. Redknapp responded in a way that wasn't reasonable. He categorised everyone as lunatics or something like that. Well, I don't know exactly what he said, but it was along those lines. We were madmen. He's also done other things, you know, talking about TalkSport, about people that phone up in TalkSport are, what idiots. Was his words? Idiots. Was that his words?
Yeah.
And apparently this is as good as it's going to get. Like, no other manager in the world could ever progress Spurs past where we're currently at. All right, should we take a break? I need a fag. So, not gay.
Dick.
Cock! A camel surname!
Alright, so we're back and we've had our fag break. We've all decided that Redknapp's a prick, yeah?
Nah, you're a prick, mate.
Alright, right, we're going to talk about Modric.
Boo!
Yes.
Chill out.
But listen, we're going to talk about Modric because there's a couple of issues. There's not the standard issue of him being...
prick.
Apart from him being, he is a prick, yeah. But now, look, listen, let's just try and be objective a little bit. Modric basically wants to leave Tottenham. This geezer wants out of Spurs, and we love him. I've loved him to a certain degree.
He's a little magician. He really is.
As much as I can love a player, he was up there. I didn't ever expect him to react the way he did. And that was basically saying, I want to join Chelsea, short of putting in a transfer request, because there's no real...
He's done that, though.
No, but well, I don't think he did.
I don't think he has.
That's never been confirmed.
There's no genuine... I don't think there was a transfer request, but there was an aspect of him saying that he wants to leave, and I don't think anyone denies that.
Well, the thing I think is that I think it's less him wanting to leave because he seemed very happy at Tottenham. He's always acted happy at Tottenham. I think it's more of him having his head turned by obnoxious money.
Completely agree.
But obnoxious club. And I think the thing that hurts Spurs fans the most is this idea that he's going to move to a bigger club. Because anybody who knows the history of English football knows that Chelsea is not nearly as big of a club as Tottenham. Even an American can easily sort that out. And in fact, I was talking to a Chelsea fan just the other day who openly admitted that up until 10 years ago, they were always in the shadow of Arsenal and Tottenham. And in fact, went as far as to give credit for the initial turnaround of Chelsea to Glenn Hoddle, not to Roman Abramovich or Jose Mourinho, to Ayito. I think you got to keep that in mind.
I think the way a big club's defined these days, especially from a player's perspective, is how much money are they going to pay me? Are they paying guaranteed Champions League? And although I hate saying this, Chelsea can, at the minute, they don't look like they're going to drop out of the top four. They don't look like they're going to basically drop out of that top four. So yeah, I think his head has been turned by people back in Croatia, the fact that his agent or other people that kind of surround him and advise him have said, look, you can earn X amount if you move. You've got Champions League football every season. You'll still be living in London. Apparently, the rumour is he loves London. He'd never move up north. But I guess that's probably what hurts, that he's willing to give up what he's built up at Spurs in the last couple of seasons and just shift on to the next club because the money's there, Champions League is there, rather than maybe fighting and leading Tottenham forward. Because how can we get back into Champions League if we haven't got players of his quality?
I think the main problem with that, with the Modric situation, is it's very easy for the media to vilify football fans. And I think I do think that football fans do kind of get the brunt of a lot of aggression from the media and from players. And I completely understand the argument that Modric, you know, he's come to us, it's just a job for him. He's played for us, and now a so-called bigger team has come in for him. They can pay him more money, yada, 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 this kind of stuff. But then there's this kind of like, there's this unerring kind of sense in the media that then football fans kind of have an opinion that if a football fan doesn't like a player for a certain reason, that they're just a kind of, they're just a bigoted idiot, that they don't understand this, they don't understand that. But what I don't understand why it doesn't work both ways. So Modric says that he wants to leave for this, again, I say, so-called bigger team. But then, you know, so to us as football fans, that's him essentially saying that our team isn't good enough for him. So then I don't understand why it doesn't work in the reverse, that because he's come out and said that, we can't then criticise him for saying this, that, you know, we've supported him to the death while he's been playing for Spurs, he's been playing in the shirt. But now he's come out and said, and let's, you know, this isn't a small thing. Okay, Chelsea, they're not Arsenal, they're not as big a rival as Arsenal, but Chelsea still, they're one of our main rivals, you know, they're up there. And he's come out and said publicly, it's come from the player's own mouth, he said that he thinks Chelsea are a better team than us. He wants to leave our team, the team that gave him a chance, that brought him to the Premiership. He wants to leave us and join one of our bigger, you know, one of our bigger teams. So why shouldn't the fans have an opinion? Why shouldn't the fans be pissed off about that?
Well, I think this goes right to a problem that we as Spurs fans may be facing very soon, which is if Levy holds his ground and holds on to Modric,
he will,
as he looks to be doing, how does the relationship between Modric and Spurs fans sitting in Park Lane, sitting on the shelf side, how do you make this up?
Well,
I've got to be honest, the moment the season starts, it goes back to what you were saying about loving the shirt and it being about Tottenham, full stop. If he's still a Spurs player, which I completely believe he will be, I'll support the team with him in it. Doesn't mean I'll give him a hug in the street if I've ever met him, or tug his mullet or whatever. At the end of the day, if he's wearing our shirt, I expect 100% from him, like I would expect from any other player wearing the shirt.
He always.
And I'll support him. I'll celebrate if he scores, which is unlikely, but if he assists, unlikely again. Opta Joe to the rescue, but I'll support him. It doesn't mean I like what he's done. And the other thing is, it's difficult. Yeah, there are recorded interviews with him at an airport, recorded on camera, talking about Chelsea. Everything else, that letter or that interview with the Daily Mail and various other newspapers and various other quotes, you know, did he actually say it, or was it just something that he agreed his agent would release? Regardless, he's obviously agreeing with the fact that he wants to move on.
Right.
He wants to shift on. So it doesn't matter how it's come to be, he wants to move on. My theory is that I think his agent and the player himself know he's got no chance of leaving the club. That's why they're trying to engineer it softly, and trying to basically make the chairman turn around and say, you know what, I've had enough of this. But that ain't going to happen. If he was serious about it, he wouldn't have gone to South Africa. He would have handed in a transfer request. He knows he's got like a five years left, a six-year contract. He knows he's lost.
And he's
just basically mugged himself off, really, all this.
I get what you're saying, I do. But my problem is I don't want a player playing for the shirt I love because he's been forced to stay. Because ultimately, his decision, if he had a choice, there was no politics in football involved, there's no contracts, he wouldn't be playing for Spurs.
I agree.
Of course you agree, everyone would agree, because everyone...
But I have a caveat, I'll mention it in a minute.
Okay. I think that if Modric... wanted to leave Spurs, he would leave. If he was not under contract, he would go. So my problem is that how can I support a player who doesn't want to play for us, is purely done it because he's under contract by law to stay there? How can I support that player? How can I call him anything other than the word that I can't say?
I mean, the only argument I've thrown back at you about that, Flav, is like, as much as I was first to criticise Modric, as you just heard, is that as much as he hasn't done it in a negative way, Asu Okotu has come out in a very similar fashion and said, I don't believe in Spurs, I don't play for the shirt, I play for money.
Right.
But he's come out and said that honestly. But essentially, what he's saying is exactly the same as what you're saying there about Modric. Yeah, people respect Asu Okotu, regardless.
People appreciate Asu Okotu's honesty. And the fact is that whether or not he plays for the shirt, he plays hard. And I think people see that.
So might Modric.
As well.
So might Modric. But the difference is that Okotu is... I love Okotu. I think he should be the captain of Spurs.
I love
that man. I do.
For a start, he's got a better haircut.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's true.
He's got a better face
and a better personality.
Yeah, he's better looking. He's probably got a bigger dick.
And a fitter bird.
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen his bird. But I don't know. Probably. Have you seen a bird?
I haven't. No. But I haven't seen Lodge's bird either.
It's not going to be as nice as Van der Vaart.
He definitely hasn't got a bird. What I'm saying is that Modric has expressed a desire to leave. Okotu is showing a disaffection for all of football. And he has a problem with Wayne Rooney. He has a problem with the kind of culture of this sort of privileged footballer.
He has an Oyster card, for Christ's sake.
He has an Oyster card. You know what I mean? That's very different. Modric is saying, effectively, I don't want to be a part of Tottenham anymore. BAE is saying, if I had a choice, if I could earn my money elsewhere, I probably would.
No,
which I understand,
but
and
he
I
hasn't
appreciate.
Said that.
Who hasn't?
BAE, he said he'd be quite happy to stay at Tottenham for the rest of his career.
But
happy in London.
If Chelsea offered
but you get
money,
my point.
No,
but
sure, no, I understand that. But the fact is that he's not trying to engineer a move.
No, yes, exactly. He would do that. And if he did, do you know what? I still wouldn't have a problem.
What is this, a tricky one.
I'd have a
but what did he always
I probably would have a problem with him, but he hasn't done anything wrong yet. And this is my problem with players, is supporting the player rather than the shirt, is that ultimately every player will let you down nowadays. They will let you down. So it's important about supporting the shirt that they wear, not the player within it.
But what does Asu Okotu always say? He says, if the chairman is happy with me, and if the manager is happy with me, then I'm happy.
He isn't a rule of thumb, though. This man is a maverick. He's outside.
He's an enigma.
He's brilliant.
He isn't someone you can hold up as an example.
And as Harry says, he never knows the score of the game. Not sure who they're playing. only concerned with who he's going to put on the iPod as soon as the final whistle.
He's also been known to get Tottenham security to get into his car to avoid autograph hunters.
Is this true?
Yeah.
How true is this? Is this horrible internet speculation?
No, I don't believe it.
It's just ITK.
Is this ITK?
Just in from Phantom of the Lane.
Yeah.
This is people that basically hang around after the game and actually get pictures with Robbie Keane or whatever else. But, you know, this is going back a few years, obviously. I don't know whether he's changed. Maybe he's...
become more affable.
Yeah, possibly. But either way, you know, that's not something I...
A little anecdotal evidence. When I was at the Chigwell training ground for the presentation of the awards this year.
All right, well, we'll go back to that in a second.
Sure.
Let's hear what you got.
Just very quickly, there were two or three players who stood out as the most personable on the team, the players most willing to have a discussion with the fans, sign an autograph, take a picture. Nasu Okoda was definitely one of them.
Wow, he's changed.
Very, very.
I'll take that back.
Changed very happy. Thumbs up. Just looked very much in his element, along with Defoe and Crouch. I thought
really,
all very much, very much willing, happy, and open to
talk to the fans.
To talk to the fans.
Nice. So let's talk about that. I mean, we all love BAE. Everyone loves him.
Without a doubt, he's
become a legend in his short time at Spurs. The last 4 or 5 years he's been here, he's become a legend. Let's talk a little bit about why you was at the training ground last year.
Well, as a member of Chicago Spurs Supporters Club, I was asked. Well, basically, our club was asked if we wanted to send a representative to the Supporters Club award ceremony. Because I was the only Chicago Spurs member in the UK, I said, of course, I'd do it. Was only planning on going and watching the ceremony. I got a call 2 days before the ceremony from someone at Tottenham asking me if I'd be willing to hand out one of the awards to one of the players. And I, of course, said, well, I think I might be able to handle that. But, of course, they didn't tell me what player or what award. So I showed up at the training ground on a day when it was about 28 degrees outside, in a full suit, sporting a very recent hangover, okay? Sweating like mad. We watched a bit of training. They take us into a little conference room, and they asked me to talk a little bit about Chicago Spurs, which I did, and called me up to hand out the Goal of the Season award. Well, as soon as they said Goal of the Season, I knew what the goal was. Gareth Bale, volley. Stoke.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
As soon as I heard that, my heart started going about 200 miles an hour. I'm about to meet Gareth Bale. Anyway, hand him the award. Brilliant. As we know, Luka Modric ended up getting the Player of the Year award. And Benoit Okoto winning the Spur of the Year.
Spur of the Year.
Which is basically the person who represents Spurs the most. Funny enough, in the conversation that we just talked about.
Yeah.
But I was very glad Asu Okoda won the award, in fairness. Anyway, brilliant day. I'd say Kabul was the least cordial.
Yeah.
Not particularly interested in speaking to anybody. Sandro drove out of the parking lot with about 30 people in his vehicle. I'm not sure if he brought his whole family from Brazil just for training that day, but they were all packed in the back.
In a Ford Fiesta.
And funny enough, Crouch leaves in the back seat of a van, and I overheard a 9-year-old kid next to me saying to his father, "Does he have to always ride around in the van because he's too tall?"
Yeah, that's fair. What was Bale like anyway when you met him?
Well, very quiet. He didn't say much. He of course was just finished training.
Yeah.
Did he let you touch his hair?
Well,
his ears or his head?
I don't know if he wanted me to touch his ears. But I definitely got in for a good tight cuddle. Got my arms well around him. Good picture for the website. Really brilliant. But I did nothing but shake his hand and say congratulations, Gareth.
Excellent.
Dan, I just want to say on the day. I just want to confirm, were you the only person that was only wearing a suit on that day?
Yes.
And everyone turned up in shorts and t-shirts.
It was hot as hell, right?
Quite an informal ceremony.
Quite informal. Everyone wearing a Tottenham shirt, right? I show up in my full suit. Funny enough, I'd caught a ride from a mate who has a work van. Which I had to
So you turned up in a suit in a white transit.
Yes, but not just in a van. It'd be one thing if I was riding in the front seat, but he had his son with him. And his son has to wear a seatbelt in the front seat, so I was sitting on top of a toolbox in the back.
So the final point we're going to go on to now is that we're sort of on to transfers and that sort of thing. We started talking about transfers at the beginning of the show, so I think we should...
An hour and a half ago.
It won't be for them though, it'll be edited down.
Oh, yeah,
what?
The listener,
yeah. Fuck the listener. No.
fuck you, listener.
No, listen, so we end.
Free podcast.
Wait.
It's free. Yeah.
Are we in edited time now?
No, we're still recording, man. So we're basically going to end on transfers. So, what and who do we need to go forward? Imagine that Modric, you know, possibly isn't going to be a Spurs player.
We just need, it's going to sound really silly, but something that's better than what we've got, because we've got a forward that blows hot and cold, a forward that scores great goals but doesn't do much else,
yep.
And another one that is great at giving away free kicks. So we haven't really, you can guess who I'm talking about with the three, but we need quality, we need a complete centre forward, moon on a stick. Where are we going to get one from? There's a lot of targets out there. I don't know, it's one of these things where I wouldn't be able to push one forward as this is the one that I want.
Okay.
It's, I don't know if anyone can throw a name out there, but
yeah, throw some names.
I'm really struggling.
For
Rossi.
Well, I don't know that I could throw a name.
Then that's it, that's your thing.
That's you done. That's you done.
To be fair, this may be controversial, but I wouldn't mind Adebayor. I think he's what we need. Oh, he just happens to be a gooner.
Can we end this? Should we end it? Because we can go into that.
This will go on for another hour.
We
can do it next week to see if he's signed or not.
Yeah, we can. All right, you can get.
We'll do it next week.
All right. What do we need? A striker and a centre back. Thank you very much.
So, Rick, you got anything to add that hasn't been said already?
Yeah, I personally would like a new mascot. Because I don't think Chirpy is up to it. He's been there for ages and he just flaps around during the game. And I just think, you know, we need someone that's going to get the team going. And I really just don't think Chirpy is the one. Like, and he's walked around down Park Lane just giving it. And he just thinks he's cock of the manor. But I just, just not up for that.
All right, Jack.
I just think Pino or Crancher could do what Modric does, to be honest.
Joe, you know, I've got the player that can replace Modric, it's Jimmy Billard.
Oh my god.
Floating about the championship.
No, if Jimmy Billard was Croatian, you'd be all up my arse now.
Well, he's funny, but that's about it, isn't it?
Like, he's funny.
He's good for soccer AM, but
we've got a new Chirpy.
Yeah,
Jimmy Billard.
There you go. Alright, so that's about it, everyone. This has been the first ever Fighting Podcast. We hope it ain't... actually, bollocks, I think it's been alright.
Yeah, you sound desperate.
Yeah,
you
sound desperate. I think it's sounded intriguing.
You should say everyone's names so people remember the next time about, you know what I mean?
Alright. I'm the host, don't dig me out. You won't be on next week.
Go, do you know what I mean? Some people remember the next
Yeah, time, so basically everyone who's been here, I'm Flav.
Yeah, I'm the Trunk.
I'm Ricky.
This is shit, isn't it?
Chicago Dead.
Spooky.
Yeah, and that's it. So basically.
Ow! What about Al?
Al. The engineer Al.
Forgot about him.
Yeah.
Email go.
What we're after is emails from listeners. So anything that you write in, unless it's absolute dog shit. we're going to read it out. So it's thefightingcock, all one word, @gmail.com. Just send us some emails in. We'll read them out. Also, we've got some features. So you may have heard some features in this episode. So we'll have more going forward. But we want listener content. We want the stuff that you're producing. We want to put it on the podcast. So what?
I thought we were doing prick of the week.
Oh, yeah, also, basically we're going to run a little thing on the Facebook, which is www.facebook.com/thefightingcock.
But I mean, count though, we'll have a weekly winner and then...
Yeah. I don't know if this is going to hurt my feelings.
All right, lads, thank you very much for listening. That's it. We'll see you again very soon.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
We didn't give out the email address, right?
No, you did.
Did we? You sure?
Yeah.
No, you gave out the Facebook address.
No, I did give it.
TheFightingCock@gmail.com.
You're supposed to be a media expert.
That's really not a clinical ending. All right,
boys. Hey, well done.
I'll keep away.
It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Cock. It's the fighting. It's the fighting.
Camel Tottenham!